And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friends at Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca if you have a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent the travel trailer next summer. And you better get on it because the rentals are going fast and the spaces, you know, at the campgrounds won't be long and they'll be gone too when they open up. Also, if you want to get into the real estate game, give Paul Waldo a call. You can call him at 502-5355. That is Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team. And make sure you stop in at Pizza Hut and get yourself a snack for the football game. All the Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, and more specifically, the Concord Group of Companies, headed up by David Dubé. Thanks to them for getting on board with Growing the Game with Ballsy. Now, we focus on amateur athletics, amateur football here in this podcast, but of course, we can't forget the fact that it is semifinal Sunday in the Canadian Football League. Out east, the Hamilton Tiger Cats taking on the BC Lions. I like Wally in that one, and the BC Lions. Travis Lule, maybe his last kick at the cat, so to speak, as a quarterback of the Lions, and it is Wally's last kick at the cat head coaching in this league. So I like the Lions playing hard for Wally and winning that one. And of course, 3:30 on Sunday, our pregame show on 620 CKRM and the Rough Rider Radio Network begins at 12:30 with myself, Paul Waldo, and Chris Best as we get set for the Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. First time they've met in the playoffs since 2007 when the Riders, of course, won the Grey Cup in Toronto against Ryan Dinwiddie and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. With that in mind, an old face came back to town this week as Drew Tate was signed by the team, and I had a chance to catch up with Drew Tate.
So what did the Riders have to do to get you off the couch and into the snowbank?
Well, I wasn't on the couch. I've been coaching since May. Yeah. But Murph gave me a call, and everything just lined up right, and it worked out.
What did Coach Jones tell you that they want you to do? What's your role coming in here?
Just prepare and be ready. If I need to step on the field and do my thing, then I'll do my thing.
Did you have some fire to continue your playing career, or what led to this?
There's a couple of things that lined up, but everything just kind of lined up well, and so we're here and we're gonna do what we got
to
do.
It's kind of neat to come full circle. Started here and you're
yeah, back. Yeah, that was cool. That was like a cool thing, and come here and experience this facility is just, it's really unbelievable.
This isn't as nice as the old stadium, is it?
Just a tad.
Drew, you said you wanted to focus on coaching, right? That's why you retired.
Yeah.
How much of that focus is currently still happening, and how are you balancing that with playing?
Well, now that I'm not in the office all day, I have time, so I do like 75% of SAS stuff, and then 25% I do of about my coastal stuff, and everything I do is online. I have like all my stuff online, so I do my film studies and then my reports and all that. The only thing I'm missing really back home is the scout team and game day kind of operation stuff, but my DC and head coach gave me their blessing, and they said this was an honor, so I said, okay, well, thank you very much, and hopped on a plane.
What was the biggest...
What was it like as a coach to kind of go...
Say what?
What was it like to be a coach after playing for...
Absolutely loved it, and I'm on the defensive side, and man, just couldn't be happier. I've been playing football since I was 7. I'm 34, never played defense, and actually my first year I played, I was middle linebacker, and then after that, I moved quarterback, and... I wouldn't change it.
What'd you learn about the game, maybe from
the defensive side? It's pretty cool because they spend so much time on formations, looks, and then, you know, as an offensive guy, hell, you could just give them one look and they'll spend 2 hours on it, you know, and it just, you know, it's like smoke and mirrors kind of thing. And but also kind of like how defense, how they fit certain gaps on running game, and then how they try to attack protection stuff. So man, it's really cool. And you know, I'm gonna end up being a head coach someday, and so definitely gonna be on the offensive side. I don't like to defend because you're always playing second fiddle because they gotta wait till the offense lines up, and that's not me. We're rolling, we're going.
So are you approaching this as a short-term thing? Like, it's
say
just,
what?
Are you approaching this as a short-term thing?
What?
This stint with the Rough Riders.
I'm just looking at it as a playoff run in 2018 and winning a Grey Cup.
Was that the biggest motivation? The fact that you're coming into a team that's locked up a spot in the playoffs?
I mean, if they weren't, then I probably wouldn't be here, right? So, but no, it's, you know, and I've known John Murphy a long time, and I've known Coach Jones for a while. And then actually Rob Bagg was here when I was here my first time. So it's pretty cool to see him. And And like I said, it's actually a great locker room. It's fun. I like what they do here. It's really exciting that I've never been anywhere in the CFL like this, and just happy to be here.
Would you have come out of retirement for any of the other teams in the playoffs?
I don't know. You might ask me that in a couple weeks.
Coach Jones has said that there's a chance for you to even play on Sunday. Do you feel as though you're comfortable enough to be able to get some reps?
Yeah, I think so. This offense is very similar to Ottawa's last year, and pretty much half this league runs this offense. So, I mean, I think I could squirt out a couple throws.
I read your retirement letter this morning, and it was pretty sure that you were staying and leaving football.
Well, I got it. Yeah, Murph actually called me in July when Zach first went down, and I said, hell no, I'm not coming up, I'm done. And but he called me last week, and like I said, just everything just kind of lined up the way it was supposed to, and hopped on the plane.
Are you okay being, coach said that you're going to be third on the depth chart behind Brandon and Zach? Are
yeah.
you okay with that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I just got here, so these guys have been here all year. So, I think I have a little insight on this offense because I ran it pretty well last year with the few plays I had. But, I ran it every day in practice, and so I think I can help a little bit, give some insight, and also just kind of, looking at safeties, rotation, and just kind of like looking at body language of the Sam and the weak half. There's a lot of stuff you can throw out there.
Is it part of the motivation here to even pick up some other coaching tips?
Absolutely.
Sounds like
it's a never-ending story when it comes to coaching, and you can never not learn, and it just keeps going and going and going.
Besides age, how much does this Drew Tate differ from the guy that was here some years ago?
Oh, man, night and day difference.
You had pretty high ambitions when you were here last time. How do you feel your CFL career has gone?
Man, I'd say, other than the injuries, I don't know. If I don't get hurt, I think I'd have my place in history in this league, no doubt. I think, I think my numbers really kind of speak for themselves. But it's just the opportunity. I just, get dinged all the time. And, I'm not a big guy. And it's just the way she goes, I guess.
That seems the way it was with you when you got an opportunity.
Yeah, right.
Break yourself.
Yeah, right. I'd always come out hot, and we'd do some good things, and then boom, I'd get hit, and then that was it. I was really blessed though that Calgary kept me on as long as they did, because they could have just kicked me to the curb like Ottawa did basically. But it's cool. I'm back here, and we're getting to do this and have some fun.
Was it like Zach said you were on the same flight here? Did you get a chance to talk together?
Yeah, we sat in. He was window, and I was aisle on row 4. So yeah, we got to talk and do stuff. I had never met Zach before, but. I played with Trevor last year, was with him in Toronto, and said good things about him, and he's a good guy.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, and I'm speaking with the quarterback of the Sheldon Williams Spartans, the 3A City High School football champion, Sheldon Williams Spartans, Keegan Cater. How does that sound, Keegan?
Hi there.
Yeah, how does that sound to hear that said when somebody says City High School football champion?
Sounds pretty cool. It's pretty awesome.
First time since 1976 that your school's won the 3A. Of course, back in 2006, they won the 4A and then went on to win the provincial championship. Let's go back to last week in that 24-3 victory over Belgoni. Just tell us about that game.
The game, that was a very tough game. It was both teams going back and forth, and we just so happened to get a few big plays that scored some touchdowns.
Yeah, okay. So you've never won a football championship prior to this, right?
My first one was Canada Cup.
Yeah, so, that's right. So prior to this year, you'd never won a championship. You won the Canada Cup. So we'll get to that in a second, but you're just on a run right now. Have you always considered yourself a winner how do you see yourself as a player? Is that one of your best attributes? Do you consider yourself a winner?
In other sports I play, I consider myself a winner, yes. In football as well, I like to be or stay confident, I guess.
Yeah.
And, don't like to view myself as a loser.
No, nobody does. Nobody does, no doubt about that. When you look at yourself and people that haven't watched you play, how would you describe your play? What's your best attribute?
I like to that's a tough question.
I mean, you're tall. You got a strong arm. You like to fire it around the yard. Do you think it's your physical attributes or more like the mental preparation side of the game?
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. I'd say I'm consistent. I don't tend to get down on myself. I won't be up and down. I won't have highs and lows. I'm more consistent.
Tell me about playing football. How long have you been playing football, and what got you into the game?
I started in grade 4, so I've been playing for about 8 years now. I got into it because all my friends in elementary were playing it, and I was always around soccer, and I play all the sports, and I thought I'd try football out, and I just loved it.
Have you always been a quarterback?
No, actually. I started out as a defensive back. Played that for a few years, then played running back, and then the next year I played running back, quarterback. I shared half and half for the game, and then tight end. And then my first year at Bantam is when I actually started playing full quarterback.
And so what do you like best about this position, being the quarterback?
I like just being in the lead, if I'm being honest, like being in charge. It's awesome.
Touching the ball on every the start of every play kind of thing?
Exactly.
Okay, so take me back to the Canada Cup. You had a great tournament there, leading Saskatchewan to a gold medal. Just tell me about that tournament and how that came together for you guys.
That tournament was huge. I had never been around that level of talent, never really been to a football tournament, actually. And it was a big thing. It was really eye-opening for the level of talent that was there, and just really pushed me to kind of show me what I want to do. It really makes me want to take football to the next level, because the things I can do with it, it's just could be incredible.
Okay, so and what does the next level look like for you? Have you been contacted? Like, did that tournament open up your exposure? Did you get a lot of people looking at you?
I got quite a bit of interest at the tournament, but I'm still really unsure of where I want to go, what I want to do, even what I want to take in university. So it's going to be quite a bit of thinking to do.
Yeah, you're not thinking about anything but this football game. You're taking on Bishop Mahoney there, 1:30 on Saturday at Libel Field. You're going to have a big contingent of obviously the school, but a lot of family and friends there watching you?
Yes, I will, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you how do you handle the stress as the quarterback? What are you going to do the night before to handle stress?
Just picturing the game. Football.
Do you do a lot of visualization? Kind of lay in your bed, put on your beats, and just listen to some music and think about it?
Yeah, I like to just kind of hang out, not do too much before the game, and just stay as controlled as I can.
What's on the iPod or your phone for music? If I grabbed your phone and listened to your music, what would I be hearing?
Oh, I got a lot of music. A lot of my music is just stealing from my friends. I don't really.
Well, come on, you gotta have one pump up song. If you had to listen to one song before you go on the field to win the provincial championship on Saturday on home turf, what are you listening to?
Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, and so what is it gonna take for you guys to beat the Bishop Mahoney Saints here on Saturday?
Just all of us working as a unit, just going out there, playing how we play, how we know we can play. And I think that'll get it done.
And how do you know you can play? Like, how would you describe how the Sheldon Williams Spartans play?
We're tough.
Real tough. Okay, cool. That's awesome. And I'll tell you what, I hope you do a lot of speaking in the huddle, because you're kind of already got that pro mentality. You're pretty reserved in interviews. How many interviews have you done in your life, big man?
My first one was just
the other day?
Honestly, this year, honestly.
Yeah? Well, you know what? You're doing a good job, man. That's awesome. Good luck. And hopefully you can bring a provincial championship back to Sheldon here in Regina. And we'll be watching, okay?
Sure, hope I can.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friend Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team, brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca, and brought to you by the Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. I'm joined by Paul Waldo. Paul and Ball on football. Let's start with the CFL. It is semifinal Sunday. Who do you like out east, Hamilton or BC?
You know what? I like Hamilton. I think they did a pretty good job. Obviously, last time they played them, I think they put up almost 50 points on them. And, you know, Hamilton plays pretty well at home. And, it's just getting back to the crossover situation. I know Saskatchewan was able to go in there and beat Ottawa last year, but it just doesn't seem like the Western teams have a small amount of success going east. So I'm going to take the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Yeah, I'm going BC with Travis Lule and Wally Buono's maybe last kick at the Cats, so to speak.
You know what?
So
that was- give him a little bit of juice. I don't mind that pick, Paul. I don't mind that at all.
And Solomon Elamimian's coming back, too.
Oh, so he's back in the mix,
So that might help them, but who knows? We'll see. But we're concentrated on the Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. First off, before we get to the game, Jordan Williams-Lambert, the Western nominee for Rookie of the Year. This guy has superstar written all over him.
He really does, and I think the interesting thing about him is he's done it consistently every time he's been in the lineup. And you don't see a lot of that. You see some flashes from rookies generally throughout the season. Then you see them plateau. But he's been able to come in there and put together a great campaign. You know, when you look at guys like Shaq Evans, kind of been inconsistent. But Air Jordan has just kind of gone out there and done this thing and has been successful. It's kind of been that safe haven, you know, for any of the quarterbacks in there throwing the ball, and he's just kind of that clutch playmaker.
Okay, so people have said, well, Mark Trestman, you can't blame him. He didn't have his quarterback, Ricky Ray, all year, and so that's why he wasn't successful. Well, Chris Jones really hasn't had a steady quarterback all year either. His team is 12-6, home playoff game, and for that, he is nominated as a Western Coach of the Year candidate.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to give him his props. You got to give him his credits. I mean, you know, you know Zach being out on the sixth game, you know, early in the season, and then you know continuing to have you know, health issues, and that team has gone out there and they've been able to get it done on obviously special teams, and we've talked at length about how strong and how opportunistic that defense has been, and that's why they're in the situation that they're in. You know, it's been that defense and their ability to score double digit touchdowns for the season has been remarkable.
I puked in my mouth when I made this prediction a couple of weeks ago. I did pick Winnipeg and Hamilton to play in the Grey Cup. I've kind of amended the Hamilton pick, obviously, as you heard a couple seconds ago. But I don't know. I'm kind of still staying with my Blue Bomber pick. And if that goes the way that I say, then they'll beat the Riders this week. I just, you know, I think Matt Nichols has found his groove once again. They've got Andrew Harris, who's a dependable runner. And you know what? They got a good defense, too.
They really do. I mean, Adam Big Hill, obviously, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the league. You know, the secondary has really come on this last four or five games. And you know, you're right, Ballsy. I think it's always about the team that's got the most momentum and is playing playing at the most opportunistic time. And right now, they're just firing on all cylinders. And I think they're the hottest team in the league right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, even though they dropped their last game to Edmonton, that was kind of a meaningless game. Now, but I'll tell you what, the Riders team is built to win in cold weather with defense and special teams. But I got to ask you this: as we talk right now with this podcast, you know, Zach Kolaris says he's good to go on Sunday. Chris Jones told us on Wednesday he'll let us know closer to game time their thoughts on Kolaris, but he was out there practicing. My question to you is, if Zach Kolaris can't go or doesn't go or isn't nearly like the Zach Kolaris we saw a few weeks ago in Calgary when he probably had his best game as a Rough Rider, can they beat the Blue Bombers?
You know, I don't think they can. You know, I think obviously just looking back to you know, to them playing BC, you know, a couple weeks ago, and Brandon Bridge came in the league with or came into that game with, I believe, a double digit lead. I think it was 16-1 or something weird like that. And I think they were able to kind of, you know, shorten the playbook for him, you know, control the line of scrimmage and kind of not expect him to do a whole lot. But, yeah, if Zach Kolaris isn't out there doing what Zach Kolaris did a couple weeks ago against the Calgary Stampeders, then I think this team might be in a bit of trouble.
Just reading the tea leaves, and I don't know anything, but I'm just reading the tea leaves. When you bring Drew Tate off of the retirement heat and you bring him in here and he elects to come in here, you know, that just tells me something's up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've been doing this a really long time, Balls, and I think your signals are right. I mean, he's not going to leave a situation where he's had just to hold a clipboard. You know, I think he's probably closer to getting on the field than most people would think. You know, whether that's one injury away or you know, potentially an injury away and a subpar performance by Brandon Bridge might draw him into the lineup. But you're right. Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't think he's here just to kind of spectate.
Yeah, no. And I wonder if a guy who hasn't played for a season, if he can just come in and his first game's a playoff game, that doesn't make me feel real good if I'm a Rider fan.
No, not at all. I tell you, it's really weird. I mean, you know, you figure you try to maybe sign a late cut or a late scratch from somebody's roster throughout the year, but to bring a guy in that hasn't played all year is kind of strange to me. But I will say this. you know, Drew Tate's kind of a cowboy. You know, he's just kind of a guy that just goes out and just kind of just does his thing, and he just doesn't, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, but yeah, he's just one of those guys who's kind of loud, and he's a guy if you had to depend on somebody, and you were going to bring somebody off the street to play ball for you in a meaningful game, he'd probably be the guy I'd take, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'd say he's good. Just ask him, and I don't mean that. I don't mean that rudely. I mean you got to have that swagger when you're playing that position.
You do it, and he's a guy that does. And I think, like I said, you know, is he in tip top football shape? Well, probably not. But I think he's a guy that if stuff doesn't go really well, and if the crap hits the fan, that I mean, he could go in there, and I don't think you're gonna lose too much.
Yeah, and he's used to this offense because he used it in Ottawa, yeah. And like he said earlier on this podcast, half the league runs this offense, so he knows what to do.
Absolutely, and he's a guy obviously who's been coached by great coaches. Obviously, his time in Calgary, and you know, he's been around. His football pedigree kind of speaks for itself, and once again, I mean, I think he's always a guy who's had the confidence and has had the moxie, so he can. He'll be able to go in there, at least, like I said, get him through a game, I think. But once again, I don't think he's a guy that can go in there and take the ball from opening snap and win you an important, significant playoff game without playing for a year.
Okay, so let's talk about your boys, the U of S Huskies, playing the Calgary Dinos in the Hardy Cup. Hey, for the first time since 2009, you guys win a playoff game. It's about time, he says. So I want to start there. About time. Any danger of exhaling and saying, "Oh, not a lot was expected of us. You guys were picked down at the bottom of the coaches' poll. Not a lot expected of you. You guys make it to the playoffs. You win a playoff game. Is there a danger in like, oh, we did it?
Oh God, no, God, no. I mean, if that's where your mentality and your focus and your vision is, then you're. We're in the wrong sport. We're in the wrong league. And you know, there's one thing I can obviously speak for with regards to our coaching staff is, you know, we've had a lot of guys fortunate, we've had a lot of success at all levels of football. It's, you know, about 60 years of professional football. I think there's a dozen Grey Cup winning players at one point in time on that coaching staff. So I think the one thing we definitely don't do is get complacent and stay the course, you know, and that's the most important part. So just getting into the postseason or winning a postseason game isn't why we're here. So we're going to do everything we can. I think the guys are prepared to go in there and play an incredibly talented, you know, Dinos football team. And we'll let things happen where let the chips fall and land where they land.
Yeah. Now this is Paul Waldo joining me, Paul and Ball on Football here and Growing the Game with Ballsy. Paul, one of the fine sponsors of this show because he does support amateur athletics. And of course he obviously on our broadcast, CFL great. And then now he's coaching the U of S Huskies. Okay. Last time I remember a kicker really swaying a game, and not just a kicker but a punter. I remember, I'm a Chargers fan, I remember it would have been 2008 AFC wildcard game. Mike Cyphers, the punter of the Chargers, really hemmed Peyton Manning and the Colts in deep all game with his booming kicks. And I remember, that's the last time I remember until last week when Sean Stanger comes out and he was really a difference maker in that game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he had to be. I think obviously, you know, a kid like Terrell Pintle, their kicker turner, who's arguably the best player I think in the nation, it was just so explosive. And you know, playing them a few weeks ago, he had a punt return deep, and I think he had in two returns, back to back kick returns. I think he had, you know, 160 yards, and it was a 10-point lead that they got off to that we just couldn't close the gap, and so we knew how important it was going to be. And Stanger went out there and was lights out. He was unconscious out there. I mean, I think he put four or five, you know, under the 5 yard line. And that was the game in such a close, tight match.
Amazing to think Stanger and Kyle Siemens, who have been there for a while, finally get their first playoff win. Isn't that amazing? And I feel good. I feel good for those two kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's the one thing you want to see. I think that's the one thing that happened last week is you need your fifth year guys. Your seniors, your guys to really step up, make plays. And, you know, Kyle came back and obviously after throwing that interception, I think with a minute and a half left, came back to obviously, you know, get a scoring drive to take us in overtime. And Tyler Chow had a great day on the ground. And, And Stanger, like I said, had punted and kicked out of his mind. So that's what you need. You need your veterans to step up and make plays. And, you know, we're a really young team for a lot of people who don't understand that. I mean, it's incredible when you even just look at our roster and who we're going to be graduating and who we have waiting to step up and play. So you want to get the most you can out of the guys that are not going to be here for all that much longer.
Well, this would be a big statement if a young Huskies team can make some noise and pull off an upset or at least give them a really good game here against the Dinos, because they've been a juggernaut for so long. Now, you know, you're young in the back end in the secondary.
Yep.
And they have got the Philpotts, they got Hunter Carl, they've got so many weapons there. How can you possibly defend that? You're going to need a pass rush.
You do, and that's where it starts. You got to get to that quarterback. And you know, as good as those receivers are, there's really good receivers all over the league. When you look at it, you know, you got guys like Schrottenbacher in Manitoba, and then you got obviously guys like Schinbein here in Regina, I mean, and Terrell Pinto. But their X factor is their quarterback. Sinegra is he's a monster. He can go out there and he can throw the ball on the run. He gets in the pocket, and he can run himself. And we got to get to him, whether it's three or four or sometimes, you know, five. And we just got to make sure that we don't allow him to get comfortable. But I told the guys, I said, don't be mistaken here. This isn't a David versus Goliath, Goliath fight. We talked about it earlier in the week, and I was telling my guys in the secondary, these guys are very beatable. You just got to play damn near perfect to give yourself a chance. So it's going to be a good game, and we're looking forward to the challenge, and we think we can go in there and handle our business.
So I talked about exhaling and maybe that being a danger after you beat UBC, but how about this? You guys are playing with house money. Nobody expects you to win, so it's got to be kind of good to go in there with expectations low. Maybe not internally, but definitely on the outside.
You know what, Ballsy? Like I said, when you get picked last in the Canlist, by the coaches, Paulie, you've been playing with house money all season. You know, but that's the thing when you're slowly starting to get all the chips. You know what I mean? You're slowly starting to put it all together when people don't expect it. And like I said, by the end, we want to have our deck stacked the highest, and we want to be able to close the game out. So, you know, we got a really good shot. We're looking forward to the challenge.
This isn't something that would you'd preach to the players, but this is something as on the business side of football with Flory and yourself and guys are trying to recruit kids. To have a good showing here this weekend is big for recruiting. To say, you know what, it's one thing to say we're not that far away from the Dinos, but when you look at scores and stats, that's another story, and people look at that. So, you know, I think it would go a long way for your recruiting if you guys could, you know, if you win for sure, and we're rooting for you, but at least hang around and make this a good game.
Absolutely. You said it, Ballsy. I mean, you know, we're there to win a Vanity Cup championship, and it they correlate. If you're playing on TV in the Hardy Final, then like you said, you're playing when it counts, and that is the biggest recruiting tool. You know, your facilities are one thing, and you know, and obviously your education is supposed to be primary, and it's supposed to be the most important thing. And but for some kids, like I said, at the end of the day, they want to see teams that are going to be successful, and they want to see the teams playing on TV in games where it counts. And it's astronomical from a recruiting tool. So you're exactly right.
And lastly, did one year make that big a difference? Because I mean, you guys were 2-6. Scott got in late, got his staff in late, didn't really get a lot of time to recruit. Did it make that big of a difference here from year one to year two? Like, what's been the big difference that you guys are in the mix now in the Hardy Cup final?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one thing when you're dealing with turnover, right? And you said you're dealing with a lack of continuity, and you're trying to establish and build a culture. And it's another thing to do it when you get selected as a head coach in I think it was like March finally, when they had finally, at the end of February. No, it was actually March, because we had the passing showcase. So to be able to put it all together, it all takes time. And I think, once again, establishing the culture and just, you know, getting to know the players, and as well as us coaches getting to know each other's coaching styles and seeing what our limitations are and seeing where we exceed and maybe where some of our weaknesses are. And we knew we were going to have the right pieces. It was just a matter of having enough time to get the kids acclimated and on board.
All right.
That's how it's actually going.
Well, good luck, Paul, in this game against the Dinos. We'll be cheering for you for sure. And we'll see you on the Rider broadcast on Sunday, my friend.
Absolutely. I can't wait, Paul. You have a good one, buddy.